We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
NFC North, a division in which I feel like you have a soft spot for one team, but now you're developing a little bit of a man crush on another team.
Oh yeah, definitely. Even though this is my second division duel with you, and it's another very lopsided division though.
Yeah.
You got me a lot. I mean, yeah, I know you feel a little differently, but like you look at this division the past few years, no one's challenged Green Bay.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think this year it changes.
Okay. I got my doubts, but because I just think the NFC North, these teams aren't ready for it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just, we know one team's definitely not ready for it. One team that maybe 2 years away, and then another team that's in complete transition that has obvious talent, but their roster's kind of old and no one really knows who their head coach is.
That's very fair. Yeah. That's very fair. So what would you say is your overarching just like outlook on this division? Because it has been a division that's been ran by one team. Mm-hmm. You've had sprinkles of like that Bears run in 2018 when Matt Nagy got there and they won the division.
I feel like that came and went so fast.
Yeah.
Like it was like that week one game where Khalil Mack had like the strip sack and like they were dominating and then the Green Bay just took away from him. Like that's kind of like how the NFC North has been. But I think just how much Green Bay regresses and whether it's Minnesota finding their identity or if Detroit really makes leaps, because to me, Chicago's kind of in the same boat as Carolina, Atlanta. Like, I think Chicago, they're not winning more than four games. It's just that roster looks really bleak across the board. So it really falls on Minnesota, and you know, maybe Detroit could surprise some teams, but I still think they're about a year or two away. So it's just a matter of like how much is Green Bay going to fall off? That's how I look at it, because there's just no way they're going to be as good.
Are we over exaggerating how much we think they might fall off? Like they still got Rodgers, still got really good defense. Matt LaFleur. They have an awesome defense. Like, could we look back at this and be like, yo, yeah, they lose the wide receiver who Aaron Rodgers I think is like 11-1 without Adams in the lineup. Short sample size, and it hasn't been like long stretches.
Yeah.
But still, it's, you know, he's a guy he goes to on fourth downs and shit like that.
And I thought that last one was really fluky against Arizona. I thought Arizona lost that game rather than Green Bay won it. If you remember that Thursday night game, I think Adams got COVID and he couldn't play. The last time they played without Adams, I thought Arizona completely blew it rather than Green Bay actually earning it. So if you want to look at that sample size, but no, I think Green Bay, they're definitely still a team that's going to win 11 games, but what, they won 14 last year? Like, a three-game drop-off, I think, is regression. So I that's something I expect. You know, they're going to play, you know, first by schedule. I think I don't know what conference they're playing the AFC. Maybe the AFC. If they're playing the AFC West, I think they might be playing the AFC West. If you want to.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now.
Because they played the North last year. Because I remember the Christmas game against Cleveland, which was like, all right, Baker, enough's enough.
So I got Minnesota's schedule in front of me.
Okay.
And it seems like they play the NFC East.
All right. That's beneficial.
And they play
What AFC teams?
AFC teams that they play are Buffalo, New England, Jets, Miami. So they play the two
okay.
East.
Okay, that's doable. That's doable. Yeah. But
let me put you on the spot. In the last 10 years, how many times has Green Bay won this division? So starting in 2012, this is only you can answer it because I have it in front of me. But
I'll go seven.
Seven times, yeah.
Yeah, because I know Chicago had 1 year, Minnesota maybe had 2 years.
Minnesota twice.
Yeah.
2017, they won it when they lost the NFC title game to Philly. Remember Case Keenum?
Damn.
And the year after, Chicago won it. And I'm pretty sure Rodgers had gotten hurt in that stretch. So it's like the only time. I remember there was a huge trend. Like anytime he plays a full season, they win no less than 10 games.
Mm-hmm. So, look, they're going to make the playoffs. They're still going to be in the thick of it. I don't see them on the level of Tampa in LA. And you could argue San Fran, but obviously San Fran's a bit of an enigma right now.
So the way I see the NFC is it's Rams, Bucks. The tier below is San Fran, Green Bay, because they've proven to do it.
Yeah.
And then me underneath, I have a bunch of teams that I'm relatively higher on. Mm-hmm. And I got like Minnesota, Philly.
That's about it.
That's about
it. Yeah, because I don't know if you're going to put Dallas or Arizona. Dallas, Arizona.
Dallas, I just don't trust.
Okay, so then, what about Arizona?
We talked about their defense. Yeah, that's a little concerning.
Yeah, so
no D-Hop for who knows. Right now, it looks like six games, but I think that's...
NFC's rough, man. The times are changing. AFC is the powerhouse conference. So I guess NFC's what, the land of opportunity?
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. Like, how many teams in the AFC, if they were in the NFC, you'd be like, oh, they're definitely a playoff team.
But now you're looking at the AFC.
Now you're looking at the AFC, you're like, holy shit, I really like the Raiders, for example, but fuck, that division alone is going to be crazy. Uh-huh. All right. I want to talk about addition. There's going to be some obvious ones that I think we can skip over, like as far as like when we get to subtraction, I think there's an obvious
one. I think the addition's obvious too.
Yeah, what's your addition?
In the division, it's got to be Za'Darius Smith. I think that was a big, big steal by Minnesota. And even though he's a little older, he's still one of the more versatile defensive linemen. Like, he's not just an edge rusher. He, on passing downs, could go inside. And with Danielle Hunter coming back as well, they could do some serious damage. I love that signing. And Za'Darius Smith, when he's healthy, which I know is a bit of an if, he just causes havoc. And I thought he was like really one of the central figures of what made that Green Bay defense so lethal. And for Minnesota to make that move, I know a couple of Packer fans, they were pissed. They were just like, how could you let him go? Now he's going to a rival. It's a big move. And I think Minnesota, they desperately needed that because I just think their defense, you know, under Mike Zimmer, they always had this reputation of being like a top 10 defense. His defense can cause problems every week. But they've lost their way the past 2 years. And now they're getting someone that's just a real violent, disruptive force. I love the move. And I think, to me, it's by far the best move in the division.
Yeah, and also when you think of you weaken a division foe, that's always one that I always like when a guy leaves a division because it weakens one team, strengthens another. Mm-hmm. So it's like a double addition and then like a double negative too for that for that said team. Yeah, that's a good one, man. I remember like the Smith brothers were like a real thing when them two first got there. I think for me, the one that I'm looking at is... maybe because I'm like a little higher and I wanted to pick something different, but like I kind of like the weapons that Detroit brought in. DJ Chark.
Yeah, it's a good move.
Jameson Williams too. I know he probably won't be ready for the, you know, week one because he tore his ACL in the national championship. But Jared Goff, very, you know, I've done a complete 180 on him on the show. He was my MVP pick in 2018. Now it's like, yo, I'm fading Jared Goff. We were talking about that before we started recording. But, like, I think DeAndre Swift is going to have a monster year this year. He missed some time last year. Amon St. Brown was a problem right away, going back to what we were talking about in one of the previous shows about the rookie wide receiver. Nowadays, they come in and they could ball right away.
Right.
Like, dude carried people to fantasy championships last year. Uh-huh. It's crazy. I remember Impey, the joke with him was like, yo, if Amon St. Brown was on Impey's team, you couldn't get Davante Adams for him, like straight up. Be like, yo, I need more. I need Davante and like Dalvin Cook for like Amon St. Brown. That's like the Impey special when it comes to fantasy. But like collectively, the additions that they made with the weapons, right? Like Josh Reynolds re-signing. I know it might sound funny, but they have great chemistry going back to when they played on the Rams together. Absolutely. And DJ Chark, Amon St. Brown, DeAndre Swift, TJ Hockenson, like the collection of weapons, Jameson Williams, a first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. I think they're doing something special with the weapons. Because now you're, if it's not going to be Jared Goff, which I don't think so, I think it's an enticing place. Or if you draft a quarterback, you're saying to yourself, dude, you have some nice pieces here. Absolutely. That we can see you. We're not doing what Miami did, where Miami gave Tua not much. Mm-hmm. They later improved it, but I think what they did from an addition standpoint with the weapons.
Yeah, no. Agree on all points. I think it's a very, what they're building is very encouraging. I also like the fact that they got away from Anthony Lynn. I think Anthony Lynn's just one of those outdated coaches now that can't really be coaching anymore. I don't think he should be in that, like, I'm not telling the team to shine. I just, like, his outlook is just very outdated. And if you're trying to build an offense to win in the NFL now, he's not the guy for it.
Speaking of outdated, for me, my biggest subtraction, Mike Zimmer.
So we're going besides Davante Adams here.
Yeah, that's why before I was saying, no shit. Yeah. The obvious one is Davante Adams. For me, I think Mike Zimmer alone is like a 1 or 2 game increase. I think they could win 1 or 2 more games based on what they like did last year.
Yeah.
They have a sick offense, bro.
Really?
You don't think so? No. Okay. Say what you want about Kirk Cousins. I think in the right situation, he can win you some games. You got Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen. I'm a big KJ Osborne guy.
He's good.
In the slot, he was awesome for them last year. Irv Smith, I think, could take the next leap. And maybe he could have like a Gesicki year last year. Not how we're envisioning Gesicki going into this season.
He's got the athleticism, yeah.
Yeah, he has the athleticism. And I just think that if Dalvin Cook goes down, which he always misses a game or two, Alexander Mattison is basically a carbon copy of him. You don't think so?
No. I know fantasy-wise he puts up numbers, but no, Mattison's not that good a runner. He's someone that could pick up yards, but he doesn't give you that explosive element that Dalvin Cook is. Like, I know numbers are kind of similar, but I think Dalvin Cook's a superior player.
Yeah. So would you pay Dalvin Cook what you paid him or just have, like, Alexander Mattison?
Cook's so unreliable. That's the problem. I love Dalvin Cook.
I think Dalvin Cook is fantastic.
Yeah. And I just think like his games, Mattison does average more than 2 yards a carry. Like he doesn't have the best vision. He doesn't break a lot of tackles, but he picks up yards. I'll give him his. He definitely has the numbers. It's just I just think Cook, as overall runner, is a superior player.
I would agree that he's a superior player, but it goes back to like paying running backs.
Right. I think now, given Cook, I'd be very hesitant too because it's proven year in and year out he misses 3 to 4 games, and it's just hard to digest. As great of a player as he is.
What do you make of Kirk Cousins on this offense?
Do you
think he holds them back? Or do you think like
it's a combination because that O-line's always been a problem. Minnesota's never got the O-line right. It's just they, particularly from pass protection, like they could run block pretty well, but pass protection-wise, I feel like when they play up against a real dangerous front four, they get eaten alive. And you know how they transition, you know, now Kevin O'Connell, the latest from Sean McVay's coaching tree. You know, what's offense going to be like? Is Kirk Cousins going to be comfortable playing more on the move? We know how uncomfortable he is, you know, scrambling-wise. But you know, in the McVay offense, you know, the quarterback does tend to run a lot of play action, a lot of shotgun. So how's Cousins going to fit in that? It's a weird mix. I'm not quite sure what to make of it exactly. I just know Kirk Cousins, there's always going to be limitations there because – It's year after year. You know he's going to make those mistakes, and it's just going to crumble games.
Was Kirk Cousins on Washington in 2017?
I want to say it was his last year.
Cousins. Let me pull that up.
I think that was his last year in Washington.
Because Kevin O'Connell was the quarterback coach.
Interesting. Oh.
So is there
a relationship
there? There's a relationship there.
Okay.
That's why I mentioned that. And as I pull it up, 2017 was his last season. So there is some, they're familiar with one another.
Okay, that helps.
So
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, I wasn't either until I pulled this up. I was just like, because, you know, you think of Kirk Cousins and like the McVay tree, it's the Shanahan tree also. And those guys are all tied in together one way or another. It's the same concepts. And they're all like so close. And it's a lot of the same stuff. And Kirk Cousins, like, I remember everyone's fantasy book and was like, oh, he's going to be the quarterback for the Niners when Shanahan got there and shit. Like, everyone was like, that was the most, like, generic duh take that everyone would have. And then O'Connell being a part of that, I think there's some thing there. There's something there since they are familiar with one another.
Right.
So, and he had his best seasons with Shanahan, too. So, it's going to be interesting, man. But I think Mike Zimmer, like, you know, he would put guys in the doghouse, and then just it was impossible for you to get out of it.
Yeah, it ended ugly.
It ended ugly, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. If I had another subtraction, I guess Khalil Mack. It really comes down because I think Allen Robinson just had to get out of Chicago.
He wasn't even a factor for them last year. So
he was Allen injured, Robinson. Just he fell off. But
I initially, when I was putting my notes for this, I was like, oh, it's Davante Adams, but I don't want to talk about Davante Adams because we like doing that, you know, not an obvious one. And then I was saying, oh, Allen Robinson. But I was like, yo, he got dropped in all fantasy leagues. This dude was taking it like the fifth round.
Yeah, he signed just completely, whether him not being able to create separation or just a lack of chemistry with Fields, he was a total non-factor. So I guess I gotta go Khalil Mack just because he's still a presence. He's obviously not quite the same force, but still losing Khalil Mack is your defense is gonna feel that. So that'll be my biggest subtraction besides Davante Adams.
Storyline. Don't it gotta be the Lions, bro?
It's not mine. As much as I love him, it's not mine. I think because I'm trying to go non-Packers here since it's primarily. This is Packers division, but I really am. The storyline is just how is we talked about already, though. Like, mine is with Cousins and O'Connell. How are they going to mesh? Because, you know, Kirk Cousins has seen his fair share of coordinators and offensive play callers. Now, just what's that transition going to be like, even though now they've worked together?
Bless.
So, I'm just curious about that because I just think Minnesota, like, on paper, their offense should be top 10. Like, they have premium talent. Like, their offense can be scary, but, like, how is McConnell going to maximize it? Because I feel like Minnesota, they've had spurts, but they haven't had the sustainability that they need to be a playoff team.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by Minnesota, bro. I really think Minnesota can make some noise. Early indications, I like them to win the division.
Wow.
Yeah, I think the addition of O'Connell getting there, I think the weapons that they have in place, the additions on defense, there's just something about Minnesota that I really like. Packers and Vikings play each other week one, so we'll get to see them. I believe Minnesota's at home. Mm-hmm. No Davante Adams, he would feast on the Packers. Yeah. He would always like go nuclear.
If you want to talk about offensive peak, I think that was one of the games last year. Minnesota beat Green Bay, and that was like one of the best Minnesota offensive showings. They put up 31, and to put up over 30 points on that Green Bay defense.
Yeah.
Very impressive. So they're capable of that, but it's just consistency.
Man, I know I'm banking a lot on Kirk Cousins, but I think like the collection of pieces around him, I think is fascinating, dude. And I really think, even though it's not my storyline, but just to add to that, they've talked about Dalvin Cook being more involved in the passing game. Which it's going to be interesting to see the way O'Connell utilizes a workhorse back like him. Because for as much as he misses time, they do feed him like 25
touches. Oh,
yeah. Like he gets – when Dalvin Cook is playing, there's no splitting time. Uh-huh. Like maybe he'll come in for like a drive, but you ain't – it's Dalvin Cook's like 90% of the time.
He carries the load. Yeah.
So – but to me, like the storyline is, dude, something about Detroit, bro. I don't know if maybe, like, if all goes well, they can maybe be a playoff team because the conference is so bad.
Yeah.
The firepower and the offense, like I talked about before.
They also have a good O-line, which I think is very important, especially when your quarterback's Jared Goff. But I do think them how they built in the trenches is something that could benefit them because when you think of young rebuilding teams – for most part, you think, oh, their O-line's going to be rough. Theirs is not.
Theirs isn't. And, like, dude, look. Jared Goff is serviceable, and he'll have some weapons. And, yo, don't forget Okuda. He's coming back off a big injury. He hasn't lived up to the, what was he, number three or four?
Yeah, overall. It's just when he's been on the field, it's
been it hasn't lovely. Been, yeah.
So that's why I just wait and see at this point. Like, I don't have any excitement over it because he has to do it.
Yeah. Very fair. That's very fair. But I think you can bring him in. You get Jameson Williams coming off injury, two pieces that I think they're going to be relying on, and both of them coming off severe injuries. And, like, yo, let's not forget Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of impact could he have, a Micah Parsons kind of impact? You know, he's from Michigan. Like, he played at Michigan. I don't know exactly if he's from there. But, yeah, he's a hometown kid, I'm pretty sure. Their defense was bad, right? Mm-hmm. They were 30th in the league in sacks. Can they get to, like, top 15? You know, like, you're not going to go from 30th to third, but you want to just go from, like, 28th, 29th to, like, in the teens.
Yeah.
So, man, Detroit, they played a lot of games close. They were, I think they had, it was, like, them and the Packers were the best two teams against the spread last year.
Damn.
So, they were, like, a cover machine. You never would have guessed. I remember I was doing that show with Will when we were in Vegas. I was like, yo, you know who loves the Lions? Professional bettors. Because they were like 11-5-1 against the spread. You're like, holy shit, what the hell?
How'd that happen? This is how they grew in popularity.
Yeah, exactly, dude. So, and, you know, they're going to be on Hard Knocks, which is interesting.
Dan Campbell, the brand is just being built.
Kneecaps.
Just biting them all. Drinking espresso. 3 espresso shots by 9 a.m.
And, yo, they have a lot of former players on their coaching staff.
Yeah, which is a cool dynamic. I know Aaron Glenn's been getting a lot
of praise. Aaron Glenn, Mark Brunell, Randall L., Deuce Staley.
They just saw JT Barrett, who I know is not
he just signed with them also. So I think this is the first time you could be excited about the Lions in a while. Now, look, they're not going to win the division, but I think they could be like a 8-win team. And you feel good about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Detroit needs something at this point just to get behind, like a nice, feisty unit with just young, emerging players. And that's what it is. Like, we're talking a lot about old rosters. I would argue maybe Detroit has the youngest roster. Mm. Like, I don't know too many old players on that team.
Hey,
maybe Marvin Jones. Wait, Marvin Jones on the...
Nah, he's on the Jaguars.
Jesus,
yeah.
My apologies. But for the most part, like, they're young. Like, they don't have too many veterans because they released Eric Flowers, who... just didn't live up to that contract. But besides that, it's mostly young players.
Hey, are we being disrespectful to Chicago?
No. I know, look, they got rid of Matt Nagy.
The only thing we said was, like, yeah, they lost Khalil Mack. Like, that's it. Like, we're not, you know, their biggest addition was probably...
I mean, they ain't had any, their receiving core is rough.
Byron Pringle.
O-line's bad. Defense, they still got Rob Quinn, which is nice, but I'm not crazy about Eberflus either. I always thought his defense, they allowed a lot of yards. It's just they forced turnovers, but it's just there's just not much star power in Chicago, and I don't even think the prospects that they have are really developing into, like, obviously we'll see what happens with Fields, but it's just what it really excites you about Chicago.
Darnell Mooney.
He's cool. He's fine.
That's about it, yeah.
Like, Montgomery's a steady player, but, you know, I think he's kind of risen up that infamous picture that I know you love always, bro. But Montgomery can actually run the ball. Like, he's a player. But
he's a baller, man. And especially when you look at the offense that he's on, he's not really getting any attention drawn away from him.
It's just they're going to be losing a lot of games. And I just feel like it's kind of empty there right now. And I think they're doing a real disservice to Justin Fields by not really doing anything on the O-line.
Of all the second-year quarterbacks, and I know you have a beef with the Jets, you have to pick Justin Fields as being in the worst scenario
for them. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because they've done nothing to help him.
The only thing I'm worried about, I don't have a beef with the Jets. I just, what have they done?
Like, yeah, but they've done something.
No, they, organizationally, yes, they've invested picks, which
that's
is the right
what
thing
I'm
to
talking
do.
About.
It's just now they got, it's now you got to show it on the field. Chicago is just, you know, obviously they did business with the Giants last year, which put them at a hole, but, like, even free agency, though, like, I don't know what their cap situation was, but the cap couldn't have been that bad. Like, do people just not want to play in Chicago?
I mean, it's not exactly Miami or a nice weather place. Trevor Lawrence, Jaguars go bananas in free agency.
I mean, they had no other choice. Not, they had to.
But they made the attempt, right?
Yeah, Jets as well.
Jets made the attempt.
New England's they decent core.
New England, maybe, but you trust the infrastructure of New England.
Absolutely.
At least. Where Justin Fields, it's like, all right, you know what we did for you? We got rid of Allen Robinson, who was our best offensive player, even though we didn't utilize him. We lose Khalil Mack on defense. We lose Akeem Hicks on defense.
All right.
What about Jakeem Grant, who every time dude was like field a punt was like electric?
That Sunday night game was one of the more enjoyable
Bro,
ones.
So fire, son. And you really didn't do nothing. So he's in the worst position of any of these, like, yo, and if we turn the clock back a little bit more, like, in the last 5 years, there's not been a first-round quarterback in a worse situation going into his second year. The Giants even made moves for Daniel Jones, bro.
Maybe you could argue Darnold with the Jets, or no.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I don't remember them doing much for Darnold.
That's a good one.
The whole Gase nightmare. But, no, I just... And I don't even think it's a big slash, because like we did that NFC South show, like we talked 90% Buck Saints. We had barely anything to say about the Panthers, and the only things we talked about the Falcons was Matt Ryan. Like, so it's just like when your team's not good, like what can we really talk about? We're not going to force conversation. We're just going to go 5 minutes just bashing them. Like, no, it's going to be a long process for them to get back to where they were. They had to clear out Nagy, and Ryan Pace was a mess. Like it was just clear overhaul was needed. That was it. Like Minnesota too, but Minnesota at least has players though. Like Minnesota, I just think needed a change of scenery. Like that era, it had success, but it ran its course. Chicago didn't really have success, even though oddly enough they made the playoffs twice. But we know the last time they made it was purely just because of the seventh seed.
Yeah, man. It's fascinating with the NFL how, you know, there's a. Like in the NBA, right? I always would like to say, like, yo, I don't want to be the seventh seed. Like, I'd rather tank, try at the lottery, yeah. Get some building blocks, as opposed to being the Hornets mm-hmm. or like those like Hawks teams back in the day where they'd be the sixth or seventh seed and get throttled in the first round. Man. Like, you're going to stay complacent forever.
Yeah.
But in the NFL, there's ways that you could be exciting, you could be interesting, and there's no league where a team goes worst to first or worst to playoffs than the NFL. A lot of that has to do with the contracts.
Right.
It's a gift and a curse, and it sucks that the money isn't fully guaranteed. But if I give a player $100 million, $60 million guaranteed, and after 2 years, he's not that player anymore, I'll take the L on the $60 million, mm-hmm. but I could get out of that contract. Where you see it in the NBA, those contracts are fully guaranteed. You see it in baseball, you're like, damn, dude, having to pay this guy – In baseball, like you'll pay Robinson Cano for the first 3 years, but those last 7 years of the contract, you're like, oh, fuck, he's no longer that kind of player.
Right.
And with the NFL, the thing that's so upsetting about the Bears is that they haven't done anything to help improve, to evaluate Justin mm-hmm. Fields, too. We were talking about Tua on the last pod that we did, how at least now going into year three, you can evaluate what Tua is because there's no more excuses. Mm-hmm. You got mad new weapons on Miami.
New coaching staff.
In Chicago, how can you assess Justin Fields, bro? Yeah, you got Montgomery and Mooney. I like them. I'm fans of them. But that's it. It's just bad organizational stuff, dude.
And they're paying the price. And you know, look, it's gonna take at least 2 years, if not longer. That's just how it is with certain teams.
Let's go into X Factor as we start to wrap up. Give me your X Factor in this division.
Well, now I'm finally going to be able to talk about the Lions. I've been waiting on it. And I know we always have the running back still matter debate, but I'm super excited for DeAndre Swift. I feel like he's the big X Factor just because now, even though Jared Goff, arm strength wise, and him not wanting to take that many risks, he's a very conservative quarterback, which doesn't help matters, but at least now they have even more playmakers that have to be accounted for. Like they have vertical threats. So, you know, when Williams gets healthy, DJ Chark's a vertical threat. Monte Brown could push it. Like I think now they're going to clear up the short to intermediate areas. And DeAndre Swift to me is one of the most dynamic pass catching backs in the league. So not just as a runner, but as a receiver as well. Like, I think he can absolutely explode. And you know, there might be some weeks where he might not put up the statistics just because I think Jamal Williams has really proved himself to be a capable back. Like I don't know why Jamal Williams people never took seriously until he left Green Bay. They always thought he was like a big plotter, right? But I think he's proven himself. I feel like now he's a decent complimentary back. Like he's a good power back and he's gonna get those red zone looks. But I still feel like DeAndre Swift, even if his touchdown numbers are low, he could do some wonders there, and I feel like he could have a huge season. I just think now that's opened up, because he was getting a lot of targets last year, and he still might get it, but I feel like now that it's going to be more efficient, the targets. Like, he might average, say, 8 to 9 yards a catch rather than, say, 4 to 5. Like, I think the big plays are going to be more open up from there, and I'm really excited for him. I think he's always been a hell of a talent. He's someone that could go 70 yards whenever he gets the ball, and now better coaching staff.
Better offense,
improved O-line. I'm expecting big things, man. I'm he's probably one of the biggest reasons I'm excited for the Lions.
I love DeAndre Swift this year. I think dude could be a top 5 running back, statistically, I think he's a top five fantasy running back. I haven't really dove into fantasy football that much. I got some fantasy content coming out soon. But I think he checks a lot of the box. He's the kind of running back I like, too. Mm-hmm. Dual threat. Yes. You're not just put it in his belly. Like, he could catch out the backfield, too.
And I think he could always take it to the house. He's one of those running backs that, like, I remember what game? Oh, when they played the Rams. That game was surprisingly competitive, and he was the biggest reason why. Like, I think it was, like, the fifth play of the game. Took it 63 yards. And he could do it as a runner and a pass catcher. So, he's cool. Like, I think he's had some injury issues, but, oh, if he stays on the field in that offense, expect big things.
Yeah, dude. And especially once they get everyone on the field, I think you're going to be looking at that team like, yo, does Detroit have, like, really good weapons? If everything works out, like, yo, DJ Chark was a 1,000-yard receiver not too long ago. And then injuries really derailed him. But he's still a young dude.
Yeah.
And change of scenery. I'm pro change of scenery. I like that. So,
and he's on a one-year contract, so.
Prove it deal. Yeah. Love that. Love that for Juju as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I like it when you bet on yourself. Like, that's everything that I do, bet on myself. So, with these players, when they're on these one-year deals, I absolutely love it. For me, X factor, got to be the Green Bay wide receiver room. Mm-hmm. And it got to be Watson. Some reports coming out of camp is, like, you know, very, not Jamar Chasey from last year, but not exactly jumping off the field and on tape. But I think there's a lot of targets that have left. And if he could become someone, you know, Aaron Rodgers in the past, if a wide receiver fucks up an assignment or runs the wrong route or, you know, drops a third and eight, he's like, all right, I'm not throwing him anymore. Yeah, yeah. Alan Lazard has talked about that. Aaron Rodgers himself has talked about that with Pat McAfee when he does his spot every week. He would talk about how Alan Lazard is a guy who, remember last year towards like the last 8 weeks of the season, Lazard was basically scoring a touchdown every
week. Yeah, he was up there.
So, and he said, over time, I've started to trust him more. But in the beginning, it was a little shaky.
Right. And Lazard's never been that guy to get like 10 targets a game. He's just more of a big play, big body receiver.
Right.
Yeah.
Field stretcher.
Yeah.
So now with Watson, they finally invest in the position. And also, you know, they bring in Sammy Watkins, too. I'm not exactly a Sammy Watkins guy. I never have been, but.
Yeah. I was excited 3 years ago. Yeah. But maybe Rodgers could elevate him.
He could. Yeah. But I think that room is definitely an X factor because we were talking about how they might have the worst skill position players in the league, mm-hmm. or one of the worst. Mm-hmm. And it was, like we said before, man, it was bad when Adams was there, too. It was still bad. But they had Devontae Adams, the best receiver. Yeah, the
alpha male.
So it's going to be fun, dude. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun. Can I rattle off some division odds, win totals?
Yeah, I'm curious. Where does Green Bay stand at?
So Green Bay is the favorite. Mm-hmm. Minnesota plus 225. Detroit 10-1. Bears 14-1.
Makes sense.
Does make sense. I feel like the Bears should be like 25-1, though. Like, there's no way the Bears could win this division, right?
No.
Like, if the Bears won this division, I don't know what I would do. I would have to think of something crazy.
Justin Fields has to be MVP candidate. Like, Justin Fields would have to do something remarkable.
Can you see an MVP emerging from this division?
No. I just...
There's no Rodgers, way Rodgers can win 3 years in a row.
I just the big plays aren't going to be there. I think Green Bay is going to be a very methodical offense if they don't make any moves, that major moves for every receiver. I just feel like it's going to be very ball control, very move the chains. I just don't see where, besides, like, Aaron Jones is probably their most explosive weapon now.
The Bears and the Lions have a win total of 6.5. Minnesota has a win total of 8.5.
Wow, Bears! I'm shocked the Bears are at 6.
And the Packers are at 10.5. Those are your win totals for this division. I think it's about right.
Yeah. I'm surprised about the Bears. I put the Bears probably at 4, but maybe they'll get a couple wins. But, I think Minnesota's probably the biggest enigma of everyone just because, like, you look at them on paper and you're just like, okay, they got star power. But just, like, what has gone wrong these last 2 years? It can't just be on Zimmer. Like, they've had clear flaws. Like, that secondary has really fallen apart in recent memory. And they're still banking on Patrick Peterson, who I'm surprised. He's really hard. And Minnesota, they just have not really hit on draft picks recently. That's another thing, because they used to, like, how they built that defense up was through the draft, whether it be Everson Griffin, Harrison Smith, Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks. Like, Minnesota, besides Linval Joseph, I can't really name, like, a high-profile signing that really elevated them. It was all through the draft. Xavier Rhodes at his peak. So now I think them not drafting well has really led to them kind of just having dipping. The issues. Yeah, so they pretty much got to start drafting better, and you know, maybe some of these moves will hit. Like, we'll see how Za'Darius Smith. I expect him to do, if he stays healthy, he should be a huge difference maker. But you know, these like, but like we said, guys like Harrison Smith, Anthony Barr getting older now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, they have a lot of question marks, but I'm really just falling in love with that offense. And I think there's something to O'Connell and Kirk having some chemistry, which I didn't even know prior to this pod. Finding out here, it's just making me more excited about them. And with how...
You got me more interested in Minnesota, because I've been kind of like iffy on Minnesota. I'm just like...
I think Minnesota's in that tier with the Saints and the Eagles for me.
Wow, okay.
Like, they could be... They're in that third tier behind the teams that I mentioned.
Wow, so he's like, I would still have Dallas and Arizona ahead of Minnesota, but...
I'm off Dallas until proven otherwise in January. Like, I'm not going to get excited for you.
It sounds like you're off Dallas in December, because it sounds like they're not. Yeah, you can't say January. It looks like you're just.
Nah, different. I don't think they make the playoffs.
Because it'd be Dallas that has obviously proven a lot more than Minnesota these past 2 years.
They have.
Yeah,
but I think Minnesota's gotten better where Dallas has gotten worse.
True. Yeah.
So let's see. Yeah. Let's see. That's a beautiful thing about making predictions and having takes.
Yep. And we haven't even got the train camp yet.
So. We haven't. Alan, this was fun. Thanks for spending the day. Where can they find you?
Alan Sterk, A-L-L-E-N-S-T-R-K.
Nick Dias 10 is where you can find me. Check out Blue Wire Pods on Twitter. You can find a bunch of stuff for Blue Wire. VeteransMinimum.com. You can find some merch. There's the merch store. We got some hats. We got shirts coming in September. Some hoodies in October, so some really fun stuff. And join the Patreon. You get all this content before it releases to the public. And we'll catch you guys next time.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.